Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to this edition of News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. In February, the good folks at the Raleigh-based advocacy group NC Child released their 2018 Child Health Report Card on the health of North Carolina's children. Sadly, while there were a handful of decent grades, many important areas ranging from housing and economic security to mental health received D's and F's. As the report noted, poverty remains a huge problem in our state, especially for kids. Recently, I sat down with Whitney Tucker, the director of research at NC Child, to discuss the report card and what it tells us about the policy solutions we need. Well, Whitney Tucker from NC Child, welcome. Thanks for joining us on News and Views.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Good morning.
Y'all have put out a report recently, the North Carolina Child Health Report Card. Lots and lots of critical data in here about the status of life in North Carolina for our children. Where are we making progress? Where are we falling short?
Sure. So this year's report was focused on a theme of economic security for families. So we tied back all of the indicators that we list out to this primary message of, you know, family financial stability being a real bedrock of child well-being in the state. And unfortunately, that is one of the things that the state is not doing so well on right now. We do have some bright spots, though. So access to care, access to health care for children. And so that's, you know, due to a combination of factors. We could say increased access through things like the Affordable Care Act, but also increased parental health care access, which a lot of research has shown makes it more likely for children to get coverage. Children in this state, about 40% of them are covered by Medicaid or CHIP. And that's an important note to make, because now as those sort of programs come under attack, we know that some of these gains that we've made in the state could, you know, end up falling short in the future. Right. So teen births are also on the decline. We've had about a 40% decline in teen births over the past like 10 years, which is incredible. There's also a really good score this year. We gave them a B for postpartum health and breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. We have more women who are actually breastfeeding for a full 6 months after birth, which is what's recommended.
Do you think that's a result of some interventions on anybody's part? Or what do you think? What do you attribute that to?
So that sort of cultural change is difficult to pinpoint to a single thing, but we could say it's likely the result of, you know, educational campaigns that have been going on in the state and also just shifting cultural norms. Mm-hmm. Right. A lot of moms, I think, now are getting that information earlier and from more trusted sources. You know, a lot more doctors are telling them that, in addition to people in their families, people at their child care centers, that sort of thing. And that just slowly but surely makes these really great gains that we've seen. And then also environmental health. Hmm. This year, the state got a B in environmental health, but we still do have some work to do there. Some areas are doing better than others. So, say, lead abatement versus things like, you know, clean water, right? All of those things are kind of, they even out to about a B this year, but we still, you know, want to keep an eye on that in the future, because we know that that has a really big impact on children's health, especially as they start out life, because these environmental factors are really, they're really sensitive to those in their early years.
Well, it's great. A B's better than a failing grade. We still, I mean, what could be more important than protecting our children from exposure to poisons and other toxics? So obviously still work to go there.
There is some good news.
But.
And it's a pretty big but. This year, we gave an F for both housing and financial stability of families. We have almost 50% of children living in poor or low-income homes. And so that's under 200% of poverty. So if we say that a family of four, you know, has $30,000-something, if they're living at 100% of poverty, you double that, we still have 46% of kids in the state who are living under that level.
The official poverty level is kind of an obsolete number in many respects. There are many, many people who have, as you say, maybe 200% of the official poverty level, but who still struggle just to meet the basics, to pay the rent, to make it, to have enough food to feed the family.
Exactly. The official poverty level doesn't even include or take into account costs like childcare, which we know is an incredible amount of a lot of people's monthly income. It doesn't account for, you know, things like rent that have gone up so high. It was really calculated based on the cost of food at the time that it was created in the government.
That was the notion that you never went out to eat. You only ate the cheapest possible food that you could buy at the grocery store. I mean, it just sort of doesn't take into account the realities of modern life, it would seem.
Right. And so we have a lot of families that are working, even have two parents that are working and still struggling to provide for kids right now. We also have some really poor outcomes for birth outcomes. Hmm. Right now in the state, at NC Child, we also recently released a brief on fetal and infant mortality. Mm-hmm. And so Basically, the issue here is that maternal health has a really big impact on whether or not a child has a safe birth, right, and also whether or not they grow and develop and are likely to make it past their first year of life. And what's happening in our state is that for a lot of women, particularly women of color, that's becoming less and less likely over the years. We have been trying to move the needle on that in the state for a very long time, and we have made some gains. We've started to try and put in place some of the things that will help families to get the support that they need so that more women have access to prenatal care, so that more women are getting supports after birth that help them to deal with things like mental health issues and learning to take care of children. It's just so far not been enough to carry across the board and also to carry over for all women. And really, I don't think that a lot of attention in the state has been focused on fetal mortality, which isn't, necessarily just abortion the way that people think of it. It's after 20 weeks of gestation. So we're talking about what most people would call stillbirths.
Right.
Those occur at nearly the same rate in the state as infant mortality, which I think has gotten a lot more attention. So really, this issue is about double in size from what we generally think of as the scope here, and it's affecting a lot of families. And so we need to do more to ensure that women have access to healthcare coverage even before they become pregnant, because a child's well-being really starts inside of a woman way before that ever comes into play.
So there's this growing problem of poverty. We obviously have had, unfortunately, a sort of disinvestment in a lot of our public institutions, public structures, the safety net that maybe could provide some of those services that would move people out of this situation. So I take it it's fair to say that there's a growing need and a crying need for more public intentional solutions from our government, from our elected leaders, that this is not something that's going to go away just through the magic of the free market. We're going to need intentional interventions by society to improve these situations.
Absolutely. And without those intentional interventions, we can expect a lot of these things to get worse over time, because a lot of these are interrelated issues, right? So when we talk about things like birth outcomes being related to women's health, that is related to women's access to healthcare insurance, right? Which, if our state has chosen not to expand Medicaid, and that is impacting a lot of women's health, particularly low-income women. And so then we're going back to this issue of financial security, which impacts not only a woman before she has birth, but after she gives birth to a child, and whether or not she's able to take care of that child, to provide for that child long term, to even if she works, right? And so all of these things kind of play together. And without some sort of government intervention, a lot of families are not going to be able to make ends meet and really move the needle on a lot of these indicators.
Same perhaps maybe for issues like mental health and child abuse and neglect.
Exactly.
Again, sort of the same story. If you're getting rid of school counselors and school nurses and all the direct potential intervention points in society to help children, to help struggling families, perhaps it's not surprising that our results end up declining.
Exactly. So this year's child health report card has child abuse and neglect, children out of home care. Those are both D's. We have school mental health being a big issue. That's a D. We have a lot of these problems that really could be addressed by what we think are some pretty straightforward policy solutions at NC Child. So recently we wrote some blog posts and recommended three to start out. I'll start with the biggest. So we recommend closing the healthcare insurance coverage gap. We know that a lot of families are making too little to afford private insurance and too much to qualify for Medicaid, and those families don't have any other place to go. We really need to get behind some measure, whether it's Carolina Cares, that legislation that's been proposed, or some other measure that's going to provide coverage for all of those people. Most states have done this, and they've also seen some improvements in some of these indicators that we're talking about. So in that birth outcomes brief that I mentioned, there's actually been a study that was published in January that showed that in expansion states for Medicaid, birth outcomes did improve. So they saw lower levels of infant mortality, and particularly they improved for non-Hispanic African-American infants, which is a group that is suffering from infant mortality at twice the rate of non-Hispanic white kids in our state. So we have, the opportunity to possibly move the needle on some of this, and that's one way to go about it.
A couple more, maybe, you say, before
we
run out of time.
So we also recommend suicide prevention programs being implemented in schools. Right now, that is a very big issue. Yeah. Suicide is the second highest killer of our kids in our middle schools and our high schools, and I think that it's something that we don't think about a lot. It feels like that's somebody else's somebody else's family's issue, right? Yeah. But it's a social issue. It's a larger societal issue, and we need to be paying attention to that and actively taking steps to prevent it in the future. And then also, we recommend more money for school nurses. So you mentioned this earlier, but mental health is something that can't just be relegated to people who can afford to go to, you know, a therapist a couple times a week, that sort of thing. It's bigger than that. Right. And so we have a lot of these kids, which, again, plays into the suicide prevention, which plays into some of these family financial stability issues. Right. So you need someone to talk to about that and to get the stress off of children, because that stress can be toxic and very dangerous to their health.
Well, Whitney Tucker, thank you for this important work you're doing. It's a tremendous trove of information. We very strongly urge people to check it out. NCChild.org is the website,
yes,
where they can find this. And if they want to perhaps even support the work of NC Child, that would be the place to go.
We would love that.
We'll do this again soon, and hopefully we'll have some improved news the next time we get together. Thank you so much for this fine work.
Thank you.
Coming up next, a troubling look at U.S. government-sponsored torture and North Carolina's role in it. Stay with us.